Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Most people have heard how in the old days, before more sophisticated monitoring equipment was available, miners used to take canaries down into the mines with them. Because of the canary's smaller size and sensitivity, if there were toxic fumes in the mines, the canaries would die. If the canaries died, then the miners would get out of the mines as quickly as possible. Today, there's a species that seems to be assuming that role in suburbia, of all places, the raccoon. Raccoons are interesting because they're probably the largest, most common wild mammal found in suburbia. Some wildlife biologists say that there are more raccoons in suburbia than there are in the woods. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. Some studies of raccoons estimate that there's approximately one raccoon per person. If you live in suburbia, you might be thinking, that's a crock, I've never seen one. But you wouldn't. It turns out that they're very much aware of the human schedules in their neighborhoods. When people are active, when dogs are out, cars, other predators, they're either sleeping up high in trees or down in storm sewers. But when people go to bed, when they call in their free-roaming dogs and cats, and sometimes leave the cat and dog food outside, then the raccoons come out and make their rounds. They know the garbage cans that they can open, and they know the ones they can't. They're driven by the desire to get what they want using the least amount of energy, just like the rest of us. So they make their rounds, and they have their territories, because they're solitary creatures. The canary part of this has to do with what used to be a prevalent belief that wild animals didn't get cancer. It was this belief that fueled the study of multiple wild species in hopes of finding out what their secret was, so that maybe it could be adapted to help humans, too. But now it turns out that raccoons are getting cancer, specifically a cancer caused by a virus, a polyomavirus that results in brain cancer. Affected animals wander around like zombies. This is occurring on the West Coast. It's a virally transmitted cancer. Now the question is, why is this happening? The fact that these animals live in storm sewers. My goodness, in suburbia. Think of all the things that wind up in those sewers. Maybe it's something in the garbage. Nobody knows. But they're the new monitor for suburbia. I'm sure there are going to be a lot more as animals try to adapt to the combination of climate change and human destruction of their habitats. But it's going to take at least several years and possibly many years to find out what is going on here. What is the dynamic? What has changed? The good news about the raccoon virus is that it seems to work like the human papillomavirus. There are many raccoons out there who are carrying it, but it doesn't cause them any trouble. So what do they have that the animals who succumb don't have? One would like to think that as much funding and time is spent studying those who don't get the disease as well as those who do. But that's not the way the medical industry works. So for now, we'll have to be content with finding out more and more about the animals who succumb and what the factors are that are involved. Once we know that, once we start looking for treatments, with luck, scientists will start studying the animals who don't succumb instead of coming up with some vaccine to treat the whole raccoon population for the benefit of a few.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.